Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another Video Games Now episode of the podcast. I always fuck that up somehow, the intro. I thought you were going to chime in with some smart-ass comment, but I guess you're not Cole.
No, I'm just reminiscing about how often you do fuck that up.
I fuck it up like every single episode.
Yep. Wouldn't be a podcast if Ronnie didn't fuck something up.
Yeah. So, all right, well, that's that behind us. So, today we're going to talk about, I'm with Bradley. Hello, Bradley.
Hey, guys.
Or aka Gamer Tempo, who just did a lit as fuck stream on Facebook. So, definitely check him out on Facebook, Gamer Tempo.
Thank you.
Playing the Apex, and you're really, really, really good. Actually, you've come a long way.
It's going really well. It's a fun game.
Yes. And I'm enjoying my Kit Kat Mint. I don't know if this. I can't even talk now. I wouldn't doubt if the States had this. It's like a gigantic multi Kit Kat thing, and I got it for $1. This just seems very American. Like everything in America is big.
Now I want a Kit Kat.
Yeah. Well.
Screw you, man. Screw you.
I could have shipped it with your jersey, which I shipped almost a week ago now.
Well, that means I should have it soon.
Yeah. Totally. Anyway, nice. Sorry. We're going to talk about Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, which comes out this Friday, which I will be streaming on Friday when it comes out. We're also going to talk about Animal Crossing New Horizons, Doom Eternal, and that's all. I'm sure we'll talk about some other shit, and all that's coming up right now. Right now. All right, everybody, welcome back. So we're going to talk about some cool shit today, so we'll choose a little upbeat Celtic Fever song here for the Muzak. And so Bradley just finished a stream, like I said earlier, so he got five dubs, I think.
I think five, yeah, five or six.
Yeah, out of 10 matches?
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking killing it. So, anyway, so this Friday, March 6th, is Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, which I Team DX, which I believe is just a straight-ass remake of the very first Mystery Dungeon that came out all the way back in the 2000 and whatevers. Excellent reporting, Rodney.
I'm looking.
Yeah, Will used to be the fact-checker. And then if I said anything that sounded anything like bullshit, he would be like, "Are you sure? We should look that up."
Are you sure?
Now Cole's kind of trying to take that role, but now Cole's always working, so yeah.
He's been too busy. That sucks.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, so
Pokemon Mystery Dungeon.
Here, I'll 2000, put the
2005 was the DS release. Game Boy Advance release, and now the new remake is 2020.
Interesting. All right, well, I just in the Skypeage through the article I'm about to talk about, so that'll help you move along here. Okay, so during the most recent Pokemon Direct, Nintendo came forward with a surprising announcement that they're remaking Pokemon Mystery Dungeon games as Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Rescue Team DX. On the Nintendo Switch, though we've only seen a trailer so far for the new version, its watercolor graphics and familiar dungeon crawling gameplay seems like a perfect fit for the hybrid console. Whether you're a fan of the Mystery Dungeon games, or just love Pokemon in general, or dungeon crawling, this may be the game for you. Here's everything you need to know about Mystery Dungeon Rescue Team DX for the Switch. Have you played Mystery Dungeon before, Bradley?
Nope, I have not. I actually kind of want to pick this up, though.
It's a different take on the games. It's actually quite fun to play, but it can be goddamn frustrating at the same time, too, like most Pokemon games.
It wouldn't be a Pokemon game if it wasn't.
Yeah, I think the frustrating part of it is once you get into the later missions and stuff, you have to actually plan your, you know, if it's a 50-floor dungeon, you got to endure that. Like, you don't have an unlimited bag space, so you got to manage your inventory, decide what Pokemon you can battle and which ones you won't. And then you'll find new items on the floor, and you got to decide whether you got to take that item and leave another one, etc. So, like, it really... makes you think after a while.
Damn. I actually kind of like that idea then.
Yeah, it's good. I'm sure we'll get into it later with this article, but I think in this one you can actually have a full team of 6 Pokemon, which you can only have 2, or up to 4 before. So, you're like the lead Pokemon for this rescue team, and you just go around the dungeon and discover different rooms and stuff, and then there's lots of Pokemon that attack you. And it's a turn-based game. So, it's so super
like
interesting.
D&D meets Pokemon?
Yeah, kind of. The most terrifying thing you can run into is a monster house. So, like, it's just, you just exploring the dungeon like any other time, and then you run into a room, and it'll say, oh no, a monster house, and then, like, I'm not even shitting you, like, 10 Pokemon will just drop out of nowhere, and then they will all start attacking you, and you're like, I can turn around and run away, or fight 10 Pokemon, which is fucking impossible. puts you in a shitty situation. But I beat a monster house one time because I funneled all the Pokemon into one hallway and then just attacked all of them with, like, I think it was Shockwave, and it attacks every Pokemon in a straight line. So, yeah, that saved me.
Smart play.
Yep. And I was so stoked, and my reward was not very big. It was like, oh, you get a TM. I'm like, cool. Give me some money. Anyways. Alright, so... since this is a dungeon crawler and not a turn-based RPG, you'll move freely throughout the dungeons with your team and fight opponents in real time, using positioning and movement to plan out your battle strategy. You'll have partners helping you fight all at once, too, rather than one Pokemon at a time. I found my partners to be extremely dumb, but you have to go to, like, the separate drop-down menu, and you can manage your partner and tell them to do specific things. So if you want to just run away, you can tell your partner run away, so they will prioritize running and fleeing from the battle versus actually battling them. Or you could tell them to go attack aggressively, so once they're in range for any attack or any item that can be thrown, they'll attack the enemy nearby. Go for items... follow me, like shit like that. So you can tell your partner what to do, but generally they're really dumb.
Okay, I like that. Not that they're dumb, but that you can at least tell them what to do.
Yeah, somewhat, yeah, pretty much. Alright, okay, so spoiler alert for another Mystery Dungeon game. I can't remember which one it was. But it's a pretty bad spoiler, so I'm actually not going to say it. But anyways, most of them end the same way in terms of your character, because you're a human that's come into the Pokemon world and turn into a Pokemon. That's the whole point of the game, is there's no humans at all. It's all just Pokemon. But yeah, they all end the same way, except for one game ends differently, and I was so goddamn pissed at the ending. Like, I literally almost threw my 3DS across the room. I was so fucking choked. So I'll tell you off the cast, yeah. But it's bad. It was bad. It was the latest one. The latest one for the 3DS. Can't fucking remember the name of it now. Anyways, yeah, I was really pissed, so be warned. But if this is just like the original, then the ending's fine. So, all right, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Rescue Team mostly consists of two components. While you're in your base, you can explore freely, talk to other Pokemon, take on jobs, further the plot, and build up the base further to house your team members. It's okay, but when you're out in the dungeons, it's mostly the meaty gameplay. In the dungeons, you can move one square on the dungeon grid at a time, and then will engage with enemy Pokemon when you get too close to them. Attacks will damage Pokemon within their respective ranges, and typical Pokemon weaknesses and resistance still apply. Your teammate will help you fight, or you can avoid battles if you want to, though you may want to battle often to level up and tackle bosses later. So yeah, the bosses in this game are, like, legendary Pokemon, essentially. Or really high-level Pokemon like Dragonite or, you know, something like that. So.
The picture here shows a few big ones like Charizard,
yeah.
Alakazam.
Oh, that's the idol team. So like when you first start out in your village, you're just starting out as a rescue team. But this is like the elite top shelf rescue team. Alakazam, Charizard, and Tyranitar. Yeah. So you basically look up to them as like they're an S rank rescue team, and you're like a E rank or something.
The shit rank?
Yeah, you're bottom of the barrel. You get all the easy jobs. That's like, come rescue me. I made it to floor 2 and I can't find my way out. Like, fuck off. and then they're taking on things like, I'm on floor 55 and I'm very stuck. Yeah, so.
Okay, so
this is a remake. It's the original Rescue Team games that were split into Red and Blue, just like the kind of like the original Pokemon games on the Game Boy Advance and the DS, and the exclusive Pokemon in each game, and there's some upgraded features on the DS, but now that the two games have effectively been combined into one and remade entirely with new graphics and improved gameplay. At the moment, aside from the graphics, we don't know much about what the new features might be available in this remake. All we know is that it looks nicer. It also seems that it includes newer mechanics in Pokemon that weren't available when the first Rescue Team games came out, such as Mega Evolution. We'll update when we learn more. Fuck, that'd be badass. Like, that would literally make or break a battle, especially with a legendary.
Yeah.
Because when you start fighting a boss, it will give you 2 spaces of buffer zone. So... you can't, like, some attacks you can attack a Pokemon that are 2 or 3 squares away, and some of them you need to be right next to them in order to use it. So that 2 squares of buffer really helps, unless you don't have an attack that does anything. So then you just gotta throw an item or something and just take away some health. Yeah. It's super cool. There's a demo right now in the store, I'm pretty sure, if you want to check it out.
I will download that. I want to play it. I really want to play this game now.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I put a lot of hours into all of them. So, okay. I'm still eating my Kit Kat. It's just so delicious. All right, so what Pokemon can you play as? The following Pokemon are playable in Pokemon Mystery Dungeon DX, so the game will choose a Pokemon for you based on a personality test of sorts at the start, but if you dislike what you're given, you can say you're not happy with it, and the game will let you select whoever you want. So... every starter up to Generation 3. So that just clears all them up. Pikachu, Psyduck, Machop, Eevee, Skitty, Meowth, and Cubone. So those are who you can choose. That's a pretty big list, though.
That is a pretty big list. I'm trying to think. I kind of wanted to use Cubone or Charmander.
I've always done Pikachu, because Pikachu is my favorite, so... And I know there's at least a couple of electric moves that reach multiple squares. Like I said, Shockwave, I'm pretty sure shocks everybody in a straight line. So that's handy. And then I always teach Pikachu Iron Tail so he can just dominate rock types.
Well, yeah, that's probably a smart move. I can see that.
Well, the only issue I have with Pikachu in the main games is Pikachu's special defense sucks balls. So, like, it just gets one hit all the time, and you're like, fuck's sakes. Can you live through one attack so I can get experience on you? Like, fuck. Alright, anyways. So, of the remaining Pokemon, you can also select which you want to be your partner and the friend that you travel with throughout the entire game. I'm actually on the fence of who I want my partner to be.
Okay, if you're going Pikachu,
you gotta find someone that complements your Mudkip's dirty because it's water ground, so electric type moves don't affect it at all.
Yeah, that would be a good one. Yeah. I kinda like Psyduck.
See, if if you could hear Psyduck actually talking, I'd pick Psyduck because it'd be fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Why do we go in there? Yeah, Psyduck.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know. That'd be a funny combo.
Psyduck was funny in the Detective Pikachu movie.
Yes, he was. He was so good in that. Yeah. I actually really like that movie. Apparently, Sonic movie, on a side note, Sonic movie is actually apparently really good.
Yes, we talked about it on the last podcast.
Yeah, you guys were talking about it, and I still haven't seen it yet, though.
I haven't seen it yet either, and I actually really want to go. I want to support the industry I work in.
If we weren't on the opposite sides of the country, I probably would go with you.
Yeah, totally. We could call each other while we're in the theater and then watch it. And then just be really loud and obnoxious. Be like, hey, Bradley, whoa, this is so cool. And then everyone's turning around and looking at me.
Yeah, but you're about to be my phone on this seat I purchased for you.
Yeah.
Like, he paid for his ticket.
And I'm on speakerphone.
Yeah. He paid for his ticket. I don't know the problem here.
Yeah. All right. Like I mentioned earlier, there's a demo of the game. And your progress will automatically transfer to the full game when you purchase it.
Well, that's good.
That's sexy. Can I play with friends? No, I can. You unfortunately cannot play. It is a single player game only.
Wow, wow.
When can you get it? Obviously, which I said earlier at the beginning, March 6th, and it will cost $60. Interesting that it's not an $80 game. Well, maybe because it's a remake.
Yeah, I think they're going with the Link's Awakening price.
Totally. My dog's being annoying again.
I can hear him.
Aren't you, dog? You're being annoying. Annoying. Okay, anyway, so that's Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. I'm looking forward to that one the most, I think. Okay, so the next one on the list here. But before we get to that, let's get to our gaming word of the week. So it's brought to you by Gamer Tempo, who's slaying it up on Apex. You don't even know what the word is because I have.
I don't. No.
Yeah.
I could throw out a random word.
You could. And then I'll top it with my word. Actually, here. I will. But I can't even guess, though, because I already know what it is. Okay, I'll just say it. It's Bunny Hop. What do you think Bunny Hop is, Gamer Tempo?
Very well known in Fortnite. People hopping away, jumping, trying to dodge those sniper bullets.
Ooh, you spotting on there. In computer gaming and video gaming, wherever the fuck this is, a bunny hop or bee hop is a technique where the player repeatedly jumps as they're moving. Bunny hopping can make it more difficult to target the player, and in some games, cause them to move faster using a technique called strafe jumping. There you go.
Apex has the slide bunny hop.
So I saw
run,
you were doing
slide,
that.
Slide jump.
So what? How do you do it?
So you run. When you get you get a few steps, then you slide and you jump, and it's faster than just running.
Yeah, I saw you were doing that, and I was like, oh, that's looks like an advanced move.
Yeah. So you get used to it. It becomes second nature.
Totally. All right, visit our website at videogamesnow.ca to find all our content, including our YouTube videos, social media links, and the news we cover on the podcast. After the show, leave a review on whatever you're listening to the show on it to help spread the word about bunny hopping. And finally, have you considered becoming a Video Games Now Patreon? As a Patreon, you get access to the podcast episodes one day earlier than everyone else, as well as a discount on VGN swag, exclusive stories, and you can listen to the podcast live on Discord as we record it. And throwing out a special offer here, if you guys become a Patreon this week, so between the time this episode airs on March the 3rd to the next week, then I'll give you a free shirt. Doesn't matter which Patreon tier you buy, I will give you a free shirt. So head on over to
Patreon. Pretty generous.
Yeah.
Coming from the birthday boy there.
Yes. Still giving.
Yeah. You're supposed to get stuff on your birthday week, not give stuff away.
Well, I'm going to get some Patreons, hopefully.
Hopefully.
There, that's my birthday wish. Get some Patreons. Some more Patreons. And Bridges is getting kind of lonely on the beach by himself.
He's still faithful, though.
He is. Yeah, he's good. He's been chatting in our Patreon chat quite a bit. And, I actually tried to game with him last weekend, but our timelines didn't match up. But anyways, yeah. So yeah, head over to patreon.com/videogamesnow to check out what tiers we have to offer, and you'll get a free shirt, courtesy of me. Alright guys, let's continue on here. So right now we're on Animal Crossing New Horizons, everything we know so far. This year we're actually going to get a new Animal Crossing adventure. Yes, that's right, we're going to see Tom Nook and Isabelle again. We're truly blessed. Animal Crossing New Horizons is set to whisk you away to a deserted island you can customize however you wish. This already dreamy-looking island getaway lets us jet-set our very own little paradise. As we get even closer to the release date, we're steadily learning more and more about one of the most anticipated upcoming Switches games. I died. Because I can't talk. Like,
it's all good.
I literally took every word in that sentence and totally mixed up the where all the words were.
That's my life.
Is that a condition? Am I fucked up?
I'm pretty sure that's dyslexia.
But I don't have dyslexia. Well, I've been diagnosed with dyslexia, but yeah.
No, but that's like people mixing up letters or people mixing up words. Like my brain, when I read a word, it automatically jumps to the word it thinks it is, even though it may not be it.
I do that when I'm talking sometimes. I noticed actually last podcast, I was reading Resident Evil, but I'm working on a show right now for NBC called Resident Alien, and I said Resident Alien, and I didn't realize it until I listened back to the podcast. I'm like, why the fuck did I say Resident Alien, for fuck's sakes? Like, damn it.
Yeah, my mind does that all the time, where I'll be reading something, and I have to kind of like stop and reread it and go, that is not the word that I just read.
I hate when you look at fucking damn easy words and you're like tired or something and your brain's like, that's not how you spell and, you fucking dumbass, and you like look at it for like a good hot
10
minute.
Minutes
you're like, yeah, and you gotta Google it just to be sure.
Yeah, you keep going back to it and goes, that's not right.
Oh,
that's not how you spell happy. That's not it.
I had play once, like I was making a play button in Adobe Flash, and I like looked at play, I'm like, play spelled wrong. P-L-A-Y? Like, no, that's wrong. So, yeah, I had to Google it. And then, like, you almost doubt Google. You're like, nah, Google might be wrong. I don't think play is spelled that way. Oh, the human mind is dumb. All right. Yep. So while you wait for your departure in March, we've gathered everything we know so far about Animal Crossing New Horizons, and to get as prepared as possible for your oncoming trip to the island, we'll be continuously updating it with anything new, so be sure to check back often on the Video Games Now podcast, not GamesRadar.com. Come on. Alright, so it's confirmed the Animal Crossing release date is March 20th. It's quite the change from the 2019 original penciled-in date, but it looks like it's going to be worth the wait. After the first teaser told us that Tom Nook is back and the Animal Crossing is coming to Switch, but it's enough to get us all super excited. It's the start of the new year, and the thought of escaping away to a little Animal Crossing-shaped deserted island is more appealing than ever. To welcome in 2020, Nintendo dropped an adorable short teaser trailer to remind us of the new adventure truly on the horizon now. Featuring Tom Nook giving a presentation to promote the deserted island getaway package, see many familiar faces in the audience, including Isabelle, who makes an appearance being her adorable self, and the teaser may be very short, but it gives us a very first look at the cover of the game. So they're just going step by step here. So let's skip to the goodies here. Alright, so here's all the gameplay details that we know so far. So set on the new deserted island, which they've mentioned about 12 times now, Animal Crossing New Horizons will see you settling on a brand new world and working to build it into a proper little civilization. There we go. I just had to like snort a bit. Alright. Oh, did you just give me a golf clap? Was that what that was?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Players embark on an ultra-exclusive Nook Inc. deserted island getaway package and enjoy... Can they stop saying that? That is like the 13th time they've said deserted island getaway package. Or whatever. They're like reminding you where you are. I already hate this game for that.
Over and over.
Enjoy a peaceful existence full of creativity, charm, and the freedom to roll up their sleeves and make a new life wherever they want it to be. Players can collect resources and they can craft into everything from creature comforts to handy tools as they set up a homestead that they can decorate freely both inside and out. The focus with Animal Crossing New Horizons is crafting. By the collecting by collecting all the things you need that you're used to in the Animal Crossing series, like wood, soft and hard, weeds, flowers, rocks, and more. To craft things like furniture, tools. In the above trailer, you craft a flimsy axe, which you can use to chop down trees. You can still buy items from Timmy Nook's shop, though there are plenty of options for you to obtain new things. So, I've never actually played Animal Crossing. I don't know about you.
I have played them in the past. And I've played, like, Stardew Valley, which is very close to Animal Crossing in kind of ways.
Interesting.
It's like a Farmville.
Yeah.
If you remember Farmville, like, that build this crop and build this house. Let's take this and go fishing and take this and go mining.
So is it very linear in terms of what you can do? It's like, hey, you need to build a house and you need to gather these things to build a house. And then
not overly. Like, it's all about appeal, right? It's how you want to build it. But I know some people that just go, screw it, I'm just going to go fishing for like 10 hours and just fish.
Okay.
But they do have like special events for the seasons. So I guess with Easter being the next season coming up, so they'll have like a town hall island, and you can go to that island and take part in the special events where it's like find Easter eggs. And then they'll give you like rewards for your house.
Right. Okay. I feel like I would get bored of this game very quick.
Yeah, I do. I'm not a big fan.
Yeah. I have been getting more and more into the build cake. Dog, go away. Go lay down. Fucking dog. Anyways, he just wants to play. Anyways, I've been getting more into the building games. But, like, I played City Skylines, which was super fun, actually. That game, its challenge came from trying to balance your money, because you don't get very much, or you will get only a certain amount per month, and you need an X amount to upgrade to the new thing. Right, so you're always upgrading. Like, you're never done. There's never like, okay, my city's like minty, right? It's like you need to continue to work at it. And I liked it because you also had to think ahead, right? If you built a single, like a two-lane, two-way road, later on, it's like, well, that's now my major artery for getting like truck traffic through or something like that, and then you'd get a huge traffic backup there, so then you'd have to upgrade the roads, but in order to do that you'd have to destroy all the buildings that are along the road because the road's too skinny.
Yeah.
Right? So then it's like, well, fuck, now I'm losing money because I'm destroying businesses that are good or housing that's good. So you gotta really plan ahead to go, okay, later on I'm gonna upgrade this to whatever. So I usually do like the four-lane road, like two each way, and then there's a cement meridian in the middle. So that's like a fairly affordable option, but it gives me the option later to upgrade my road.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not bad.
I liked that game. It was super fun. But I hit a peak. Like, I had like, I got all the achievements. I had like 100,000 people in my town. I'm like, yeah.
So if you like that, you may like Animal Crossing, just because there's so much you can do with it.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that just the crafting and stuff, like, that kind of reminds me of Eco as well, like, just all that, yeah, so.
Yeah, and, like, you build your gardens, you build your houses, trees, you can go bug catching. Like, there's so much you can do in the game to keep yourself entertained. And the one big thing I'm actually impressed with in the game is your island. You can, after a certain while, you can actually mold your island to how you want it. So if you want your island bigger, you can throw more earth and, like, expand your island outwards. Or if you want, like, a river in between your island, you can literally just dig out a river, and then a river will be there for you. Hmm. So, like, a guy creates a waterfall. So you can make it how you like it and readjust. If you're very OCD, you can make it just a square.
Ah, that'd be so, me. Like,
yeah, like, you can, like, that OCD side, you can be like, okay, this isn't a flat edge, it's a very choppy, let's just fill it in and make it flat.
Yeah, my OCD was taken over the other day. Actually, today, I asked a staff member to put out some cones, and they were, like, not straight, and I'm like, buddy, listen here. So, I probably seemed a little
did
crazy.
Did you make someone cry?
No, I didn't make them cry, but I'd made them fix the cones. So, All right. Where are we here? So the recipes for crafting themselves. Sorry, I'm getting. the recipes for crafting themselves are hitting away inside your brand new Nook phone via an app. You'll be acquiring new recipes through other animals or by discovering new items, or just directly buying them from the store. There's also a new Nook Mile program where you can activate Okay, good. I'm not crazy. This sentence, it makes no sense. Where you can activities earn you miles. That's literally what it says. You see this?
No, I don't have
You don't have the article. Right, fuck. Sorry.
You didn't send that one to me.
Fuck me. And the fucking Nook I wrote in on. Alright.
I believe you, though.
It's pretty bad. Maybe I was fucking up before because it was just poorly written. I'm just gonna use that as the excuse now. But I'll send you the next article too, so we're not waiting on that. But yeah, so Animal Crossing says where you can activities earn you miles. That'll be our next shirt. And people actually no, that'll make us look dumb. That'll make us look like inept idiots. So
yeah, we do that well enough on our own.
Yeah, we don't need help. All right, you can use the Nook phone to call an islander to come and help you out with various tasks. Animal Crossing New Islanders co-op confirmed. Up to 4 players can play together just by passing a Joy-Con or via local wireless connection. Great. That's what we need, another co-op game for the Switch. Switch is killing it.
I love the co-ops.
I mean, the Joy-Cons are super finicky. I literally just had to throw one of mine out because the fucking stick didn't work or something. Like, it's just, yeah. But luckily, I had a couple of extras.
They're expensive.
Yeah, they are.
That's $100. Like, it's the most expensive controller I think you can get. That's not
$100
SCUF controller.
Did you say $100? That's fucked.
Joy-Cons, if you're buying a Joy-Cons, they're like $98 a piece or something stupid. They're not like the normal.
Well, I mean, you are essentially getting two controllers, but if you're just getting them to replace the other two you had, that's fucked, yeah. But I'm just using the Pro Controller. Because the thumbsticks are way bigger, for one. Especially for Doom, which we'll talk about in a bit. The control sticks are way bigger on the controller. So, yeah. I remember playing Doom on the handheld, on the Switch, before, and it was fucking tough. With those small little control sticks.
Yeah, the neon purple, neon orange Joy-Con set is $99.50 on Amazon.ca.
Good God, Nintendo. Fuck. That's more than any of their games.
Yeah. It's a little painful if you have to buy new ones.
That's the one downside with Nintendo is you need a fucking bajillion controllers to have fun.
Yeah, you buy the system for $400. You buy 4 sets of controllers for $400.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then when the system dies, like the Wii U now is dead, but I still have 12,000 fucking Wiimotes and Wiimote accessories in my fucking drawer.
Oh, the Wii. Man, the Wii had so many accessories. I just, yeah. Because you got like the racket, the golf club.
The shooter thing from the Wii.
The gun. Yeah. There's so many accessories for
And then every Wiimote had a nunchuck. And then every Wiimote had a fucking, what do you call it? A wristband strap that everyone just cut off. Let's be fucking honest. I definitely cut mine off. I fucking couldn't stand it.
Pretty much.
What else did it have? Oh, yeah. And then the Wii had, you had memory cards from your GameCube that you put in your Wii to play GameCube games. And then you had GameCube controllers that people have now adopted to using in Smash.
Oh, yeah. I have one of those.
Those were sturdy as fuck, though, back in the day. Actually, they're still sturdy as fuck.
On my stream, it's on display behind me. The Smash Brothers Ultimate GameCube controller.
Nice. Yeah, I guess they remade more GameCube controllers. But, I can't do the GameCube controller with Smash. I just can't do it. I didn't play Melee, though. That's probably why.
That's probably why. If you played Melee, you would have just adapted really quick.
Yeah, I played 64, skipped Melee because I didn't have a cube, and went straight to Brawl. I actually really enjoyed Brawl, but I understand why everybody hates it because of the basically the nerfing of competitive Smash playing. Hey, dog, are you chewing on that and ripping it apart and destroying your toy? Fuck her. All right. She's not going to chew now because I talked to her like that. But anyways, Animal Crossing, back to the juice hand bits. Okay, so I'm just trying to look at new shit that... we're almost over here. So on September 4th Nintendo Direct, we got to see some new gameplay features coming to the deserted island. A shop set up by Tom Nook known as Resident Services. Notice how I didn't say Resident Alien, like I was literally about to and I had to stop myself. It sells tools and furniture that would and it will also buy your unwanted items. But that's not all. As part of the island cleanup plan, you can sell any weeds you gather from the island to quite literally make a tidy profit. Nice. Nook Miles were also revealed, which is a new feature coming to the world of Animal Crossing. You can earn Nook Miles by doing various activities and then exchanging them for special items and recipes. There will be set objects each day for specific rewards, such as collecting a certain amount of a certain resource, like wood, or performing different tasks. It looks set to be a good way to add more incentive to collecting different critters on the island, such as bugs and fish. And if they have daily challenges or whatever, like that's good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It should be good. I think it'll be a good game all around. It looks like they put a lot of effort into it.
Yeah. I mean, has there been a bad mainline game from Nintendo? I'm just trying to think. Like, am I seriously asking that question?
I think there's been a few that have been a little disappointing. I have it. Where is it? Do I still have it? The Kirby.
Right. They've been disappointing, but, like,
They're not bad.
Oh, like
the
actually,
Kirby and the Yoshi Craft World. Both
yeah,
games,
one,
I
yeah.
think people were just like, could have done better.
Yeah, totally. Actually, I got one. The Super Paper Mario was fucking kind of dirty. It was just a dirty fucking game. Did you play that one?
Are you talking about, like, the old one? For the
No. There was Paper Mario for the 64, which was fucking great. Then there was Thousand Year Door for the Cube, which was fucking even better.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that arc where you had to fight in like the wrestling match type thing, that was so fucking badass.
That was a great game.
And then they came out on the Wii, Super Paper Mario, which didn't really follow the Paper Mario RPG thing. So it was kind of a side-scrolling Paper Mario adventure.
Yeah, I don't think I ever played that.
Yeah, if you look at it as its own game, sure, it's a decent game, but as a part of the Paper Mario franchise, it just didn't work. So,
kind of glad I missed it.
Yeah, and then the fourth one was the Paper Mario Color Splash, I think was what it was called. So
yeah, no.
Yeah, that one was okay.
Thousand
Door was the best one.
Yeah.
Which I want to play GameCube games so fucking bad, but it's fairly easy to find a GameCube here in Vancouver, like, or even on like Facebook Marketplace, but like just to find the games and all that, and a TV that can plug into ancient fucking
technology.
Holy shit, we've reached that point in our lives where we can't even plug in the fucking yellow whatever it is, video cable anymore.
The video cables, yeah. Video audio cables.
We're fucking old. I'm only 28 now. 28 tomorrow. Or today, I guess. If you listen to this podcast on time.
For me, it's today, as in it's like 1 o'clock here.
Oh, yes.
Right now.
Cool.
So happy birthday.
Well, thanks. I was born at 5 a.m. Apparently.
Apparently. I'll be asleep.
Apparently,
I'm not wishing you a happy birthday.
I expect you to wish me a happy... No. Apparently, my mom said she was in labor for like 18 hours. Like, I took 18 hours. I was just a fucking asshole from the beginning.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Animal Crossing. March 20th, that comes out. Wait, is it?
Yep, March 20th.
Okay, good.
It comes out the same day as Doom.
Okay, that's right. I got them confused for some reason. So Doom Eternal comes out, which I will be playing that before I will be playing Animal Crossing.
Same.
Yeah. So Doom, the 2016 version, was fucking awesome. I played it last May, I think, and I was raving about it on the whatever podcast episode that was. And yeah, it was really, really good. I liked Doom in 2016 because it felt like a fair challenge. Like, I was challenged, but I never was mad at the result of something.
I like the mechanic they had where you can get up close and personal, rip them apart, and get health.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it rewarded you for playing. Like, if you're low health, it was like, play aggressive.
Yeah.
So that was nice. Where, if you're low health, you're usually running around with your head cut off, trying to avoid everything. If you did that, you died. It was better just to find a minion, rip them apart, get some health, and start over.
Yeah, this is a very run-and-gun game, which is my whole FPS style anyway. So, yeah, it's great. All right. Doom Eternal is on the horizon, and it looks awesome. If you like the first game as much as we did, there's a lot to be excited about. Grappling hook shotguns. What?
That sounds cool. Yeah.
What? That's fucking bitchin'. So you, like, grapple hook shotgun somebody's, like, head, and then it just rips it clean off their body, and you get health? Like, that'd be sweet.
I don't know. I haven't seen the gameplay on it, but that sounds really cool.
Yeah. A shoulder-mounted flamethrower sounds fucking badass as well. A laser axe, and other things. If these three somehow aren't enough for you, at E3 2019, I'd finally unveil Doom Eternal's release date. Showed off... Okay, what? Who? Okay. Is this... Okay, who? What was that before? Okay, it was on GamesRadar before. Whoever that dude was can't fucking write an article. This is on PC Gamer. And that whole sentence made no sense. I'd finally unveil Doom Eternal's release date, showed off new gameplay, and introduced battle mode. Why? Sorry, I'm just so fucking confused. Yeah, that doesn't make much sense. Do people actually read their articles before they publish them? Like, is that a thing?
Yeah. I don't know what he's trying to say there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's confusing. Anyways, so Doom Eternal's release is, like we said before, March 20th. Originally, Doom Eternal was planned for a release in November. However, in October, just a month before they were set to launch, ID Software announced it would be delayed until March 2020. Which I'm always fine with game delays, especially if it's by a couple months. It's like, hey, we're not ready. Like, we want to polish it a bit more and then ship it. Like, that's totally fucking fine with me. It's annoying, but it's, you know. Same with Zelda.
So many of them, though.
Well, when they pushed Zelda, the Breath of the Wild, I knew for sure they were pushing because they wanted to launch it with a Switch. I fucking knew it.
Yeah, sometimes it's smart.
Yeah.
I think a few more games are going to be pushed back to late November for that exact reason with the PS5 and Xbox.
Yeah, so we haven't heard enough of the game delays yet?
Yeah, I think there'll be more.
Yeah. All right, the new trailer above is pretty, but also pretty standard. Doom fare of running and gunning among familiar caco demons and mancubuses. Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Mancubuses? Yeah. All right, and two new enemies, the Marauder and the Gladiator. See, those are two sweet names, not mancubus and coca demon, caco demon. There's also a glimpse of the Crucible in action, the glowing red sword, which is featured briefly in Doom 2016 and is returning as a part of the main arsenal. Fucking cool. You get to run around with a fucking sword and just... Oh, maybe that's your new chainsaw.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
That'd be fucking lit. Okay. So, after 3 hours with Doom Eternal, here's what we liked and what we didn't like. More recently, Wes and Andy, I'm assuming from PC Gamer, played three very polished hours of Doom Eternal and came away with a conflict. With conflicting but mostly positive thoughts, sorry. People are going to go wild for Doom Eternal. There's something inherently lovable about its brash, non-nonsense energy. Feels amazing in your hands, especially when the flow kicks in and you're completely hypnotized by the violence. See, video games are just propaganda, man. They create war, man. No, I'm just kidding. Every time I read that article, I'm like, yeah, so we've been in war with other humans for like 10,000 years. I don't think video games is the problem.
No. Humans
are just shit, yeah. All right. So combat, it feels amazing as expected, but the pair have reservations about the platforming sections they played. It was linear and didn't engage my mind at all. The way exploring the classic Doom levels would have made me map out a 3D space in my head. That's what I missed most in Eternal. Give me some of those labyrinth levels and I'll be happy. So I'm going to take that with a grain of salt because I'm feeling like they played some of the early levels. So,
low key.
They want to get people familiar with the game, familiar with the controls, right? So I think the later levels might have a bit more of a labyrinthy.
Well, even in Doom 2016, it was like that. Like the first couple levels were pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
And then you got to like in hell when you had to get all the different keys from different bodies and open up this door to go get this key to open up this door to go get this key.
Yeah. And it rewarded you for exploring too. Like you found, like you could go through the whole game without exploring anything and it would just make it harder, right? Like by exploring, you're finding, the armor upgrades and all that kind of shit. Like, yeah. I like games that reward you for exploring.
So. Yeah.
So there's a little bit of gameplay going on here while we're talking. He literally shot himself out of a fucking laser beam cannon. And now he's got some badass looking gun. This fucking game looks so good.
I'm so excited.
I'm so stoked. I'm literally going to finish and put down Pokemon Mystery Dungeon and then pick this up. And this is when I'm not working, so I'm totally streaming this game. It's going to be so good.
Oh, I'll be streaming this one, too. There's a multiplayer, so we'll play online together.
Fuck yeah, let's do it. Okay, so where were we? So here's the spoilery first 10 minutes. I don't know if we should read this. I don't want to read it. I don't want to be spoiled. Okay, so director Hugo Martin breaks down the new and classic demons of Doom Eternal. The new NoClip documentary brought in Doom Eternal game director Hugo Martin to talk about the game's new and classic demons. It's cool to see how many demons are returning from Doom 2, but even cooler to see the brand new baddies in action. So, a new enemy called Whiplash. It's a slithering demon that flanks the Doom Slayer and whips him to death. Whoosh!
Okay.
I don't know. That's fucking dumb. Tentacles. I'm just gonna guess that, like, it's turning into a fucking hentai porn. An ambient AI enemy that ambushes the Doom Slayer from holes in the wall. Okay. The Marauder is a new enemy. Doom Slayer's demon rival who plays players... Wait. Rival who players will fight several times in the game.
Okay.
Alright. Doom Hunter, which is also new. A demon machine hybrid that floats on a hovering tank and a bunch of weapons. That sounds bad, like bad news.
Yeah.
Don't want to run into too many Doom Hunters. Carcass, a defensive demon that puts up a protective wall. Rocket launchers not recommended. An anti-explosive dude. I'm just having a gauze cannon him, I guess. I don't know. Man, I loved the gauze cannon. That thing was a fucking monster.
I didn't use half the guns.
Really?
Remember when I streamed it? I streamed it and I had challenged. I said I was only using the pistol. Right. So I used the pistol and the chainsaw all the way through. And I never actually went back and played with the other guns.
Oh. Well, the gauze cannon fucking saved your life so much. Like, if you're totally fucked...
Just shoot that?
Just get that out, line them all up, and gauze cannon them. It's fucking great. Or the big fucking gun. That was helpful, too.
Yeah, I'll probably do the same thing where I'll just use the pistol challenge. Because that's all I did.
That's dirty.
It was tough.
Yeah, I bet it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think, I can't remember the stats, but the amount of kills I had versus the amount of, like, executions I had, they were pretty on par. Because that's how I had to play, is I had to weaken them, rip them apart on almost every guy I fought.
That's wow, that's impressive. You actually beat the game with that?
Yeah, I beat the game with it.
That's
it was
impressive.
All on stream.
Wow.
So I'll probably do it again because I want to see if I can do it again.
I'm just gonna use all the guns because it's more fun. But that's really impressive.
I The guns definitely, it reminds me of Ratchet and Clank and all those stupid guns that are so much fun.
Yeah. All right, so now we're into the classic demons. So we have Pain Elemental, a Kako demon, like flying with flying demon with creepy arms. So is, I wonder if that's that balloon looking asshole that I fucking can't stand. Where you could come
with
around
the guy.
Yeah, you like come around the corner and he's like, ooh, like right in your face, and you're like, can you fucking back off there, dude? In
I
my
don't
face,
know.
Yeah. There's an Arachnotron, a brain with legs that fires grenades and can climb on walls. That sounds like an asshole.
Yep.
Arcvile, classic Doom summoner that tries to call in reinforcements. I think there were some of those in the other one too.
Yeah, Hellfield Soldier.
And then, yeah, Hellified Soldier, Basic Soldier Gruff with a nasty bite.
Bastard.
I hated those fire throwing assholes.
Those were so annoying.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you're like, hey, I got them all, and then one's appeared behind you, or two's appeared behind you, and you're like, can you fuck off? Because that takes all your health away.
They're the ones I would rip apart the most.
I love when you rip them apart and their little face. They're like,
yeah, they were so fun. And I like the mechanics. Like, I don't know if anyone's ever played it, but if you, when I'm saying you rip them apart, like, I mean, like, you will grab a weak minion. And depending on how you approach the minion, if you, like, are crouched, you will grab them from their legs and then do a, like, something horrific to them. Like, rip off their legs and then smash them in the head with it.
Or rip off their jaw. Just, like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's some of them where, like, the big floaty eyeball, you literally, or the Cyclopsy-ish guy, you literally rip his eyeball out if you're attacking from behind.
Well, when you get the power-up, the Berserk power-up, you will literally grab the minion's skull and just fucking tear him in half. Just like a fucking piece of cheese, just gone.
Pretty much.
It's,
like, it's
fucking gruesome.
It's so fun, though. I sound like a serial killer, but it's so fun running around just doing that.
They're not humans, they're hell beings. There's
okay, so I'm a help. I don't even know what that would reference a serial killer version of that would be.
I think that's just a serial killer of devil dudes. Okay. I don't know. Okay, so how long is Doom Eternal's campaign? 2019 QuakeCon, a representative from QCon Forums, asked Straton how long he estimated the average playthrough of Doom Eternal to take. It's definitely bigger than Doom 2016. Longer, he said. I think the way we're challenging players will probably make it a bit longer, but I'm guessing right now it's around the 18 to 22 hour range on a pretty complete playthrough. That's great. That feels good. Well, I felt that Doom Eternal was kind of... the original Doom was kind of drug out. Because, like, I think it was four levels away from finishing, and I'm like, oh, this isn't the last level? Like, I was kind of confused, and then every level I finished, I'm like, this isn't the last level? I was even more confused.
Yeah, I had that happen a lot. It just kept going, which wasn't a bad thing.
No. But I'm like, what else do you have to fucking tell? You know? Like, kind of, they should have finished the game there, and then had the last four missions be, like, post-game shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I just had fun with it.
Yeah.
I just accepted it as a long game. And I'll probably do the same in this one. It'll have the same feel, probably, where it's like, okay, you killed that bad guy, but now there's a new big bad guy.
Well, yeah, that was the other thing, too, is because you kill a fucking huge boss, and you're like, that's got to be the final boss. And they're like, no, there's still seven or eight undiscovered enemies that you haven't fought yet. And you're like, what? There's people harder than that guy?
Yeah. That's what I kept... part of me wanted to cry a few times. I'm like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
I just wanted to be over.
I played on the second hardest difficulty, too, and I actually... That was the most fun I've had playing an FPS game in a long time. Like, it felt like Halo 1 fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of the feel of it.
Yeah. Okay, so... Creative director Hugo Martin backed up the estimate of the early 2020, saying that they're hell-bent on gauging you from the beginning to end. So this is a 22-plus-hour game. All right, then. Calm down, bitches. It'll be on Steam. Pretty much nobody likes Bethesda's game launcher, and nothing makes people angrier than when Epic Games makes an exclusive deal with a new game. Well, chill. Doom Eternal will be released on Steam. Ooh, do I want to play it on PC?
I'm doing Xbox.
Maybe I'll do Xbox too then, so we can play together.
The reason I'm doing Xbox is because it's going to be easier.
Yeah, than dealing with the Steam store, yeah. Yeah, fair. Okay, so let's go to the multiplayer mode, and then we'll sign off here.
Sorry.
It's super late, Bradley. It's like 10 p.m. here.
It's like quarter after one here.
I know, that was the joke.
It's so late. It's okay, I'm having fun. I'm getting a little tired, but I'm having fun.
I'm so tired. I got like 5 hours of sleep last night. I had to get up at 4 a.m. my time and then go work until 6. Yeah, I'm exhausted.
I had to stay off. I just got to relax. I watched TV, played video games. Live the dream.
Oh, I saw a really funny meme. It's like, it's that meme where the guy is in the factory and he's got to choose between the red button and the blue button, and he's like sweating. He's got like the towel.
Yeah.
It was that guy. And it's like white people. And when someone says, "How's it going?" it's like living the dream or it's going. And he's like, ugh. I thought that was funny.
Yep. I get that a lot at work, actually. You ask a guy, I work in a clothing store, right? So you ask a guy who's coming in, I'm like, "How's it going?" Living the dream.
That's the most said thing at the store. For dudes?
Yeah, for dudes, yeah.
Interesting. And then women will try to start a conversation and then just immediately end it. They're like, "Oh, it's going really good." And then that's it?
Yep.
Like, they just stop themselves short of saying, "How are you?" to start an actual conversation? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's how it goes. All right, so battle mode is Doom Eternal's Demon versus Doom Slayer multiplayer mode. Battle mode is a 1v2 competitive mode starring where one Doom Slayer takes on two player-controlled demons in a match versus skill and strategy. The demons appear to have all unique movement options and abilities where the Doom Slayer can make use of the game's huge arsenal of weapons. Looks pretty unique, especially compared to the bland multiplayer romp in Doom 2016. Yeah, so that sounds interesting. So now we're going to find a third person to play multiplayer with.
Do you know anyone else getting the game? I could probably find somebody. Well, somebody else I should know gets it. We'll get it.
Will pick it up and then maybe not play it until like a year later.
After we've raved about it forever.
Yeah. Cole will probably get this game, actually.
Nice.
So yeah, maybe I'll talk Cole into buying this game. He made me buy Crawl, which I played once.
Oh, Crawl's so fun.
It's so fun though, yeah. But it's more fun with actual human players.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, so thematically, and just from the fundamental design story, it was a little bit of a Halo, a little bit of Doom, and a little bit of Quake. But there was none of what people loved from the campaign, said executive producer Marty Stratton. There's no meta, there's no real strategy there, and it said the creative director Hugo Martin. It's just like, my thumbs are better than yours. Yeah, I can kind of agree with that. When you can overcome someone's Twitch skills and strategy and teamwork, it means now that there's meta that emerges and battle mode is loaded with metas. Okay. So they're making about not only about how good you are at FPS games, but working together with this other demon dude to outsmart the Doom Slayer.
I like that.
Yeah. Which I can see what he means by Halo's multiplayer. It's literally like who can get the noob tube first or who's better at sniping, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's nice. Okay, so Doom Guy can blast off enemies' weapons and armor to create weak points. Dirty. So there'll be twice as many demons in Doom Eternal compared to Doom 16 reboot. It's unclear whether he means twice as many types of demons or just double the number of demons to kill. Either way, it'll be a bloodbath for probably me. The bigger demon battles, the Doom Slayer can now disable enemy weapons by targeting and targeting damage to that specific area. During this time with the game, Chris said this added a nice tactical flair to the arena fights. That's good, because I literally would have to stand super far back and gauze cannon like the Hellboy fucking looking dudes. I can't remember what they're called. They were the big fucking guys.
Yeah, Yeah, okay. I know which one you're talking about. I just don't remember the name.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, I would literally hide gauze cannon them and probably get a couple of little minion dudes in with the gauze cannon shot. And then I'd have to hide, let my gauze cannon cool down, and then pop out and get them again. I'd have to shoot them 3 times with the gauze cannon to kill them.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So.
Yeah, there were some enemies that just didn't die.
I know. And then just to top it off, those fireball dudes we mentioned earlier, they're just assholes. Like, they just fucking follow you around everywhere, and you're trying to run away to, like, recover some health or reload your gun or whatever, and they just fucking continue to follow you. You're like, fuck off. But anyways, so yeah, I'm glad they're adding weak points, because that'll help tremendously. Especially the big fat dudes that had, like, the rocket launchers on them or whatever.
Oh, they were annoying.
Yeah, they were annoying, so being able to shoot off those rocket launchers will be a huge help. So there's an improved damage modeling on them too, which you can glimpse in the clip below, which I can't play because this is a podcast. Okay, so yeah, that pretty much sums up Doom Eternal. There's a couple of new guns, but there's not really much on them. Doom Eternal is set in literal hell on Earth.
Ooh. Yep.
Ooh. Okay, anyways. Okay, yeah, that about wraps it up. So, 3 great games coming out this month. Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, Animal Crossing, and Doom Eternal. Check those out, and check out our website, videogamesnow.ca, for all of our shit. And like I said before, patreon.com/videogamesnow. And anybody who joins this week will get a free shirt. Doesn't matter what tier. Could be bronze, silver, gold, or onyx. Well, onyx, you get a free shirt anyway, but... if you want to be an Onyx, that'd be fucking sweet. I'll give you a second free shirt for free. My dog is sniffing around in the kitchen. It's looking for some shit to eat.
My dog's pacing around me, wants attention too.
Yeah. All right, so we should go tend to our dogs, and you guys should go tend to your jobs, because that's probably where you're heading. So thanks a lot for listening, guys, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Take care, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.